We're going to look at some foundations this morning. This, my plan is that this is a little bit more of a teaching this morning than a kind of preach. Now, the Holy Spirit might blow that out. The Holy Spirit might come. I might start getting excited and we'll see. But my plan is for a little bit more of a teaching this morning on some of the great foundations of the faith. Because my prayer is that for the United States and the Western nations, that we get flooded afresh with the gospel that Paul preached. No different gospel. No different type of gospel. But this crazy, extreme, pharisaical, law-abiding Jew that was imprisoning and killing Christians got zapped by the Holy Spirit sovereignly and lost everything for this gospel. And I'm going to read a fairly long piece of scripture because I believe the Lord wants to take us on a journey this morning out of Romans 7 and into the liberty of Romans 8. And what I'm about to read you, I've been asking the Lord, because I'm not 100% sure, I still don't know. It's not relevant, but I said, Lord, is this experience that Paul had, was this his post-conversion experience as a Jew trying to obey the law, or was it his pre-conversion experience before he got born again, and he was trying to perfectly obey the law as an unborn-again individual, or was this Paul's experience post-born again, and he was learning to walk in the new nature? It's irrelevant in a way, but I'm asking, may the Lord guide us in the truth, because I'm interested. But I want to read you this. Because we have an incredible gift. The passion of the Lord's heart is that we understand what we have and we can walk in it today. And some of you, as I read Romans 7, you might think, this is exactly what I experienced. But there's a journey God wants to take us on. And it's Romans 7, verse 14 to 25. And I'm going to read it. It's fairly long, but just engage with this. And Lord, we just give this time to you. We pray you would guide us into truth. You would teach us all things. And we pray that knowledge goes from here, Lord, head knowledge drops all the way into our inner person. And we have revelation knowledge and experience. I ask this morning, Lord, that you would come, take us on a journey. May we live in the fullness of the freedom of what you did on the cross and the resurrection now, Lord, in this age, in Jesus' name. And I want you to apply this to the prayer. I want you to apply this when you get up on a Monday morning. And you got to go to work, you got your kids, you got the practicals of life. God is a high and lofty one, but he's very practical to the age that we live in and the practicals that we have to do. And I want you to see this in the light of, yeah, I got to go to work tomorrow. I got this, I got that. I want you to see it practically in the everyday nitty-gritty, because we're here, what, twice a week, whatever. We're here, what, 5% of the week. This has got to be relevant when I get up on a Monday. I've got to go to work. I've got to raise my kids. I've got to wash the. It's relevant in real life. And this gospel, this might be the Western nations. You know, the Polish Prime Minister said a few years ago, we need to re-Christianize Europe. I felt it was very profound. You know, we've grown up, even my generation, we said the Lord's Prayer at school. The young people coming through now, some of them, they got no idea. They got no idea about God. They got no idea about spiritual things. They got no idea about the gospel. They need to hear this gospel. Romans 7, 14. Paul is speaking. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very things that I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin that dwells in me. This is the apostle speaking. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do. But I practice the very evil I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Paul says, wretched man that I am. This is a key word. Who? Not what. Who will set me free from this body of death? Then he gets into the revelation. Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. So at some point, honestly, this is my honest opinion, much of the church is living in Romans 7 right now. Does anyone feel that they're kind of in Romans 7? I mean, you can be real. Anyone feel that? I want to encourage you. There's a journey for us to come out of Romans 7, and the Lord is going to get us in to Romans 8. Because if you put the passion of Jesus is, we have such tiny revelation on this. This life, this, what I'm about to read is for today. The devil hates the truth so much. He hates these foundations. And Paul gets in Romans 8 and he says, Lord, we need wisdom revelation. Pour it out. We can know all these things here. The Pharisees, they knew it all there. When Jesus himself showed up, they knew all the scriptures. When Jesus himself showed up, he was so different to what they thought he was going to be. They wanted to kill him. There's so much wrong thinking. You see, my Jesus is English middle class. That's kind of my Jesus. He's kind of my Jesus. And I've had some revelation. I mean, I've been born again 20 years. I've had some revelation of the Lord. But still, in my imagery, my Jesus is very kind of white and middle class and English. It just is. That's my culture. So I have all this imagery here. The amount of times, I mean, over the years, I've had so many impressions, you know, prophetic impressions. See, those prophetic words this morning, I was not hearing the audible voice of God. I was not hearing. It's an impression. A lot of it's impressions. The Lord lives in us. The prophetic's impressions. So you're speaking out of these impressions. We prophesy in part. But there have been, I would say, in 28 years, maybe a handful of times the Lord spoke. And it was like almost audible. The Lord spoke. I'm not saying it's all the time, but there's times where the Lord has spoken to me. And it's like, phew, I just know God spoke. I mean, I'll put everything on it. And the voice of the Lord is so, it's so, how he spoke to me was so different to my imagery of what I thought, of what I'm thinking about him. I think we still have this vision that God is kind of angry, upset, frustrated, about to blow his top with us, that we have this imagery. But the spirit of wisdom, I'm going to read because it is so foundational. There's been a few times I've heard the Lord correct me in my life, and when he's corrected me, it's been so full of grace and truth and clarity and perfect wisdom. It's so good that the goodness of God gets you into repentance. Yeah. Yeah. But my imagery was like, I would have thought the Lord was angry or was going to beat me around the head with a brick or something. But the Lord just said it so full of grace and truth and so with perfect wisdom. When the Creator corrects you, we should really listen. All God is asking for his creation is to be in agreement with him. It's not a big ask. What does he say in Romans 8? He says, number one, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's number one. Now this for me, God, give us wisdom revelation on this scripture, because this for me is one of my most profound scriptures in the whole Bible. Remember, Romans 7 experience. Paul goes up again. He says, no, this is what we're going into. This is the gospel. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has, not will, has. That's a past tense. Has set you free from the law of sin and death. And a lot of us were in Romans 7, and the Lord wants to give us revelation to understand that the cross has 100% provided and dealt with and provided for the old nature that came in through Adam. God does not want us in this horrible situation that Paul was talking. He said, what a wretched man I am. Who will set me free from this body of death? God wants to get us out of Romans 7, and he wants to take us on a journey into Romans 8, which is a place of rest and peace and free from accusation, free from condemnation, understanding that the blood has completely removed any wrath from God towards us now. See, when I first got born again, I just felt like I got born again in March 1991. Then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in October 1991. I was walking down Church Road in Reading, my hometown, listening to a Carmen song. You know, the Italian-American guy? It was an old Sony Walkman the size of a brick with a cassette in. And the Lord had stirred me. The Lord gave me some grace for a few weeks to get up a little bit early and just start seeking the Lord. And all of a sudden, see, there's power in testimony. When, you know, we have this power. I just pray the Lord would release a fresh tongues of fire and baptism of grace and the Holy Spirit this morning. But the heavens, is a song about Jericho, and I think he was in a youth conference on the cassette. And then in the song, they all shouted, you know, for the walls of Jericho. And when he did that on the cassette, it was like the heavens opened up over me, and I just got absolutely drenched with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and I was never the same after that. So I just this morning, just sit, stay in your seats, but just close your eyes, just raise your hands a little bit, just do it, engage. I want you to engage. Close your hands, close your eyes, raise your hands. I just pray, Lord. However it looks, just fresh baptism, the fire of the Holy Spirit. May the gospel, Lord, advance through us. May the gospel flood Charlotte afresh, Lord. May it flood the United States afresh. May it flood our home nations afresh, the Western nations. Lord, open the heavens, we pray, Lord. We center on the cross. It's all about Jesus and him crucified. I pray this morning, Lord, for just to receive that fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Pray the prophetic gifts would get stirred up. You know, sometimes, you know, we have gifts. Stay plugged in. Just stay receiving, Lord. So I pray the gifts would start to bubble up and be stirred up, Lord, in every believer online and in this house this morning. All the different gifts, all the different talents, all the different abilities, all the spiritual gifts, all the whatever graces and gifts and strengths that you have, may they bubble up afresh. May you take your place in the body of Christ. May the Lord slot you in to what he has for you. May the Lord take you to where there's that grace. May he fit you where there's that grace for you. Pray that anything that's got dormant, things get buried sometimes. We pray any dormant gifts, any dormant callings would come alive. Lord, thank you. Paul said to Timothy, wage warfare with the prophecies concerning you. If you have a prophetic word from the Lord, there's going to be warfare. It's just the way it is. You need to, may the Lord bring to remembrance legitimate prophetic words right now that you can start to remember and confess and pray and declare, decree, start to do warfare with prophetic words. Might be way back. Legitimate, genuine prophetic words straight from the Lord. You might have forgotten. They might have got buried. I pray they would come afresh, Lord, those prophetic words that were from you. May they come afresh. You watch over your word to perform it. May they be performed in your time, your way, Lord. I don't believe any word from the Lord gets drops to the ground. There's fruit on any word from the Lord. It doesn't return empty. So just shandaraba sondoro, my Lord, just anywhere where anyone's cutting on your race, things happen, life happens. Maybe you're in the ministry. Maybe something happened. You got blown out of the ministry. Well, may the Lord restore. The Lord is here to create and restore this morning. So he's here to create and restore any hindrance. You know, Paul said Satan hindered us. The great apostle said in his ministry, Satan hindered us. It's a battle. Satan hindered us. Anywhere where the Lord is hindering, where Satan is hindering, I just want to break that. Lord, deliver us from that this morning. Any hindrance of the enemy, deliver us. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. I pray, Lord, that everyone starts to walk in the gifts and callings that you have for them, where that grace is. We can do nothing apart from you. May we abide in you, you and us, Lord, the vine and the branch. May we just it's grace. You can't. Paul said, you know, I worked harder than every other apostle. You think he's being arrogant? No, he said, no, the grace of God that was with me. He said, it was not me. It was the grace of God that was with me. We can't do anything outside of grace. It is a supernatural power to do things for God. You can't do it in the natural. Paul, he said, it wasn't me. Anything, any false prophetic words. You know, sometimes we pick up in the charismatic church, we pick up junk. There's false prophetic words. There's a lot of junk flies around. I want to break that off us today. Anyone that's received a wonky, weird prophetic word or something that's not of the Holy Spirit that might have taken, we just want to break that off you. So much flies around in the body of Christ. This is prophetic and that's prophetic. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff out there. It's not all good. Look at the fruit. What's the fruit? What's the fruit of that word? What's the fruit? What's the fruit of that experience? I just want to break that off you. There's free, Lord, anything that is hindering us, anything that is any limiting of freedom and liberty in you, anything that's not of you, deliver us this morning. Expose it, Lord. I pray, Lord, any grace I have in the prophetic, I impart with family. Any grace I have in the prophetic, I just impart to you this morning. To be able to hear the voice of the Lord. But I want us to get hold of this. Is that this is a done, finished work. It is past tense. He says in chapter 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Past tense. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh so the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. In us. Who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. This is all past tense. It's done. It's finished. There is freedom and deliverance and provision from the old nature. It's done. We just need revelation to learn to get out of Romans 7 and start walking in Romans 8. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is obsessed by the new nature. He says this in Galatians 5:22-25. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, this is a very important scripture. Against such things, there is no law. There's nothing you can do to create those things in you. And then he says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You get a good root, you're going to get good fruit. You don't see apple trees and fruit trees straining to bear fruit. They're in the right soil, they got sunlight, water, the roots. There's just this, as we abide in him, we just need the body, and we need to learn to rest. We're so works-minded, we're so achievement-minded. I mean, I can talk for hours on this, but Lord, release the spirit of wisdom revelation. When we realize that we're free from the old nature, it's done. We're free from the old nature. God's going to get us out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, where there's a rest and a peace and a learning to walk in the new nature. And I want to encourage you, don't get if you feel I'm struggling and Romans 7 is my experience, I want to encourage you, just relax, lighten up. Don't be harder on yourself than God is. We're learning to walk in this new nature. We're learning. God wants us, you know, wherever he wants us walking in it, because one, he loves us. He shed his blood for it to happen. And two, we're much better witnesses when we're filled with joy and peace. And we're living in freedom. Don't get overly introspective. Now, Paul said to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine close. There is a place. And, you know, the Lord's Prayer, I'm not saying, oh, you know, there is a balance. But we get so introspective. If I start looking in me, it's just so much in there that's un-Christ-like. Because I'm learning to walk in the new nature. I'm learning, increasing in revelation, that I am crucified. He made full provision at the cross for my old nature. And I'm learning to walk in the fact that Jesus himself has come to make his home in us. And there's wisdom and revelation from the Lord. There's a rest where the Lord wants us to grow in experience of this new nature. The devil's robbing so much of the church. He's lying and accusing. He's robbing so much of the church because he knows these things better than most of the body. He knows these things. He knows these truths. There's doctrines of demons. He has his own doctrines. There's accusing spirits, lying spirits, deceiving spirits. He hates these foundational truths. But the power of the gospel is that he himself comes to live in us and transforms the human being from the inside out. That's the power of the gospel. Jesus said, he said, abide in me and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Those fruits, love, joy, peace, it comes out of a rest, a submitting to the Lord, a rest in the finished work. It is finished. Lord, may this knowledge go from here all the way down into our inner man. I want to get up. Ed, if we can do it in the amplified version, I want to read you. I know when I speak, I tend to repeat myself a lot. It's just the way it is. We all have different graces and revelation on certain things. I have probably about 3 sermons that I just change the order to make them sound fresh every time. That's true. It's like I've only got about 5 scriptures for the offering, but I just try and rotate them. Mate, you might think, oh, it's fresh revelation all the time. But if we can get Ephesians 1, there's something sticky on this mic. I feel like I've been handling candy. What's on this mic? It's a sellotape around. I feel like I've been handling my children's candy. Praise God. Sorry, Ed. We flow together. We're flowing together today. I haven't even told them the scriptures yet. Ephesians 1, verse 17 to 19, if we can do it in the Amplified Bible, because I want us to see something. Okay, let's look at this. There's some awesome stuff in here. Lord, release this, release it. I pray knowledge drops from here to here today. And that we get free. Lord, may there be such a freedom and liberty in us as believers. Lord, may we really live in the fullness of what you've done today, now. Now. Lord, release it. Paul says this. He said, for I always pray to God. He didn't just pray. He wasn't just praying for these believers once. He said, this is the heart of the apostles, the heart of a father. He said, for I always pray. Always thinking about you. He loved, you know, he loved people so much. Paul was always thinking of, always praying for them. They were in his heart all the time. He said, for I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, this is a spirit. It's a spirit. Thank God for the intellect, right? We thank God for there's been great. Some of you, it's nothing, it's not unspiritual to be clever, by the way. It's okay. If you're clever in terms of IQ, that's fine. Einstein and some of the great intellects, whatever, it's fine to have a good intellect. Paul was a really clever man, actually. Paul was a very intellectual man. But the greatest minds on planet Earth is purely in the natural. Now, as a born-again believer, we're now in the supernatural because we're spirit, soul, and body. So we go into a different level that we're not just into intellectual knowledge now. Because of the Holy Spirit dwells with us, there is a capacity in us to receive a supernatural knowledge that then leads to experience. Now, a lot of the time people say, well, you know, stop talking about experiences. We just need to walk by faith. And that's absolutely correct. But there comes a point where faith has to lead to experience. If I'm not, I'm bored. I want more experiences of God. I mean, I don't need experiences to stay solid. I walk by faith. I live by faith. I live by the scriptures. I don't live by feelings. But for crying out loud, I want to experience more of God. He's addictive. I'm getting bored. I need more experience of God. I want to see experience his presence more. I want to walk in the fact that I'm crucified and have a new nature more. I want to see more signs and wonders that blow my brains and glorify God. I want to see more prophecy that an unbeliever walks in and we read their mail and they think, my golly, I got to come to the Lord. I've touched this, but I know there's so much more. I need more experience. I want more experience. I'm not walking by experience. If I don't have experiences, I'm struggling. But I want more experience because he's addictive. I mean, I tasted the world. I had a great time in the world. But the presence of the Lord came out. I've got to have that. I've got to have the presence of the Lord. It's addictive. I've got to have the presence of the Lord. Our young people need to understand the devil's a liar, and he will sell lies saying, well, try this lifestyle. Try that lifestyle. Go and do this thing. Go and do that. God's boring. Being holy is boring. The devil lies. He lies to people that holy living is boring living. That's what it's a lie from the pit. Whereas the fullness of life that God has for us, his presence is addictive. May our young people, I had no Christian upbringing. I mean, I got damaged. I mean, I'd rather not get damaged in the first place, to be honest with you. God can restore all things, which he does, but I'd rather not get damaged in the first place. I had no Christian upbringing. I got opened up to junk between the ages 7 to 17. I'd rather not have done. I've had healing deliverance, but it would have been better in the first place not to have needed it. I'm just being real. So he says, may he grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into the mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. Now, did you know that your heart has eyes? Did you know? I always picture a heart with these eyes looking at me. I always picture that when I see this. But by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light. See, now the Spirit of God has come to dwell within you. Your inner person can be flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you And how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set-apart ones. You are saints, by the way. You might not feel like it. It's not based on performance. Being a saint is by grace through faith. Paul often said to the saints in wherever. Did they ever act together? Were they perfect? No. But Paul knew they were in Christ. He knew they had a gift of righteousness. So he called them saints. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe. Now, we think signs, wonders, and miracles are healing and deliverances, and that's all great. We need more of that. The greatest miracle is when the Spirit of God comes into the human heart and changes that person from the inside out so their behavior is different than it was before. That is the greatest miracle. Which is why we can never get away from preaching the centrality of the cross, of what Jesus did there for sins to be forgiven and remembered no more. Also, the provision that he dealt 100% with the old nature when he died at Calvary, so we can get out of Romans 7 and get into a place of rest and peace in Romans 8. There's no other gospel. There's all these different opinions and views and doctrines and gospels flying around out there. Paul was obsessed and lost his life for this gospel. If there's no change behavior, there's no gospel. I mean, I don't care what's being preached. If there's no change behavior, there's no gospel. Because the gospel is going to deal with sin. It deals with sin. Okay, let's go on to the next one. He says, which he demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. Let's go to the next one, Ed. Which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. We'll stop there. But that wisdom and revelation. Now, I was reading another version. Well, actually, it's funny. I was reading the Amplified this morning, and it didn't have it in. That's weird, but it's okay. But it said that revelation being formed to your innermost core of your being. And it's interesting. Scriptures sometimes get half quoted. Well, people go, wow, there was great fear of the Lord in the book of Acts. And we're all going, oh, okay. Oh, I feel I'm falling so short now. But it says there was great grace in the book of Acts. You've got to be careful of getting imbalanced. People fly these. Great grace leads to great fear of the Lord. People are saying, well, where's the fear of the Lord in the church? And everyone's getting kind of freaking out. But when the more the grace of God increases, the more of the fear of the Lord increases. Philippians 2, 12 to 13. I love this. He says, so then, my beloved, just you as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more my absence. This scripture gets half quoted sometimes. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And we can think, ooh, fear and trembling. But then Paul balances it. Paul is obsessed with grace. But then he says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You see, right living only comes out of the new nature. Yeah, so Paul's saying, yeah, we'll work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. But it's only in the light that God himself is at work in you to will and work for his good pleasure. That goes right back to what he said in the book of Romans chapter 8, that God has fulfilled the law in us. And I'm harping on about the spirit of wisdom revelation because I can talk about this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's only revelation when this knowledge that I'm crucified with Christ, I'm under the law of the spirit of life, I have a new nature within me, It's only when it drops from here to here by the Spirit of wisdom revelation that we actually experientially walk in it. And we're learning to walk in it. Just let's not be. We get harder. And I tell you what, I know I'm harder on myself than God is sometimes. I can be a bit of a perfectionist. I mean, I really can. I wonder if I need deliverance from obsessive compulsive disorder sometimes with some of my behavior. And I think, you know, I have to check my car 3 times that I turn the lights off. I like it parked right correctly between the lines, or I got to make sure that door handle's locked 3 times. I've almost broken it off. I can be a bit, maybe I do need deliverance. I'm going to get on the prayer line. Someone's going to lay hands on me this morning. I might need, I can be, I'm a very perfectionist. I can be like that. And if we had a full revelation of how God sees us this morning because of the finished work, we would just be out, we would just get drunk in joy and freedom and liberty. We really would. Colossians 1:27, to whom God willed to make known what it is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. The glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. There's no time. The Western nations, my golly, the Western nations need to be flooded again with this gospel. Paul says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, that's all the non-Jewish nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. One of the strongest, biggest strongholds in Britain is religion. It's religion. People are put off. There's been so much dead religion. Satan is very religious, by the way. So, and I'm just talking openly, you know, when that Holy Spirit revival showed up and that laughing revival showed up in 1994, friends of mine and good Christian people were offended by it and struggled that God could make people laugh in church. Let's just get rid of all the theology. It's just simplify it just for a minute. Sorry, I'm standing on my communion cup. Excuse me. God made people laugh in church. Oh, that's terrible. That's really bad. God made people laugh in church. God should be making people miserable in church. If you turn that theology round, just use some logic. If you turn the theology round, oh, God should be making people miserable in church. And then come out and fill the society with miserable Christians. No. I want more joy. I'm getting a little bit older. I'm getting a little bit grumpier. The kids, I love them, but I'm so tired sometimes. The grump comes, it just comes on me. I lose my humor, my joy, my lips go, and it's just like, I mean, my wife's laughing. I'm just being practical with you. I'm just being real. As I get a little bit older, I'm finding I can get a little bit more serious and grumpy. I need more grace. I need more Holy Spirit. I need more the presence of the Lord. That's why the corporate gatherings. I need these corporate gatherings. They're just a lifeline to me. The watch. I mean, I took a night off, had a rest on Friday, and went out clubbing. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I slobbed on the couch and watched some mind-numbing free TV, which is kind of what I like to do. Read the cricket results. But Lord, give us wisdom revelation into who we are. I could preach. I mean, you know, I don't want to bore you with too much. I could. These foundations. I'll give you some practical counsel. To get close to the Lord next is really pray for the Spirit of wisdom revelation. Really pray for it. Really lay hold of Ephesians 1, 17 to 19, because the Lord will do it. He will download head knowledge. See, we can have head knowledge, 2 Corinthians 5, 21. I've become the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus. We could have that head knowledge, but we need it to go here, that we know how much the Father loves us. We know how much love he has lavished on us to call us children of God, that we know by revelation and experience how the Father sees us now. We can know that we're crucified with Christ. It's done. It's not, we will be. We have been crucified with it. It's past tense, and we're now under the law of the Spirit of life that has set us free from the law of sin. Paul's saying it's done. He has set us free from the law of sin and death. There is provision for the old nature. We need wisdom and revelation. Now, there are some theology. Let me be balanced with this, right? Let's be balanced. God, keep us balanced, please. There is some theology out there that the old nature is actually being totally removed from the believer. That is error. The old nature is still 100% in us. Agreed? Agreed. Now, sometimes there is some theology out there, and I've met Christians that believe that theology, and it produces an unreal arrogance. There's not good fruit to that theology. I don't like it. And it's not true. It's not true. We know the old nature's in us because we're struggling sometimes to get out of Romans 7 into Romans 8. We know the old nature's there. We're learning to get into Romans 8. James said in his book, we all stumble in many ways. He was in the context of speech, but we all stumble in many ways, right? So we know sometimes especially with my kids, I'm reactive sometimes. And my old nature really, I'm reactive with my temper or whatever. So I want to just encourage you, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He's looking for us to be in agreement with him and just have a heart that wants to grow and mature in him. But it's an easy yoke, it's a light burden. We are learning. I don't want you to start feeling like, oh, I'm really just not getting this right. Let's just relax. Spiritually, we have four phases. We have the baby phase. We're pooing our diaper as new believers. We have the toddler phase. We're growing up a little bit. We have the teenage phase. We can go through teenage phases as a believer. And then we get into full maturity. We're on a journey into maturity and learning these foundational doctrines. So I want to encourage you, don't feel condemned or heavy in any way of where you are at right now, but let's commit to going on a journey to get more revelation and walk in this in more experience. Now, sometimes we just make a choice to sin. I mean, we just make a bad choice. Sometimes it's more reactive. You know, I blow my lid at my kids just because I'm tired and I'm walking in my old nature then. It's still there. At that precise moment, I'm not experiencing being crucified under the law of the Spirit of life, but we're learning to walk in it. In some ways, it's like a trainee pilot. You know, a trainee pilot, he's being told, this is the latest fighter jet in the U.S. Air Force. Go fly it. And he kind of gets in, and it's like the perfect fighter jet, and he starts, maybe goes up on his first, what are those simulator things, and he's kind of, it's all over the place, but he's learning. You have Jesus living in you. I have Jesus. We're learning to walk in that life. And that means when you get up on a Monday morning, that means when you're in difficult circumstances, that means when you got work, college you don't like, that means when your kids are winding you up, that means when life is good, life is dip, whatever. We're learning when you're doing the dishes, when you're changing the cat litter, when you're mowing the lawns. I'm thinking all my jobs that I do, when you're doing this, that, and everything. We're learning to walk in this new nature. So there's a journey from Romans 7 to Romans 8. And I like what Paul says. In fact, I like even more what Jesus says. John 8, 32 to 36. And he said, you will know the truth. You see, the battle, the great battle in the spiritual realm is between truth and lie. Jesus only ever speaks truth. In fact, the scripture says God cannot lie. Interesting. You think, well, what if it says he cannot lie? That's interesting. Satan is the father of lies. So the battle we face as believers and in the earth, actually, is what is true and what isn't. And Jesus says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. This is the key. We need revelation truth. We need the body of Christ free in every way, living in the fullness of the finished work. It's much easier to communicate and be good news when you honestly see it and experience it as good news. And I think sometimes we struggle to believe the gospel is good news. And the problem in the West is we're self-righteous. We need an increasing revelation of how righteous we are now by faith, but sometimes we need an increasing revelation of how wicked we are outside of Christ. And I think if we don't break the laws of the land, steal and murder and things, we kind of think we're okay. It's why some of the most grateful people, some of the most amazing, but those who really were really wicked, and they knew they were really wicked. You see, we quote John 3:16 all the time, God so loved the world. But at the end of that chapter 3, John the apostle says, and the wrath of God abides on the one that does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not preached as much. And we need revelation because some people read Old Testament. Sometimes God just seems angry all the time in the Old Testament. And then we read a scripture like that and we don't always want to talk about the wrath of God. But this is where the power of the blood of his own son comes in. The blood of his own son was shed to remove wrath 100%. We need revelation. And the Jews said to him, well, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Then Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Bring this message in together with an encouragement from Ephesians 4:15. Because this is what we're called to. And we're going together, by the way. We're going to go into this together. And when you're a speaker or a minister or a teacher, just so you know, you're very, very conscious that this message is first for your own ears. Now, I have a little bit of grace and revelation. God took me aside back in late 93, early 94. The practicals of my job and life at that time, I had real time to get into the scriptures. I felt the Lord back then downloaded some revelation and grace to me on some of the foundations. I mean, when I'm speaking on the, I feel this is what I'm created to do. That's grace. When I'm teaching on these, I feel this is what I feel what I'm created to do. I have grace for when I'm teaching on these foundations. Because I love signs, wonder, and prophet. We want more gifts and all that, but we really need more revelation on the foundations because it's this gospel that the Western nations need to hear again. It's not a wishy-washy gospel. Paul said, if an angel comes and preaches a gospel different than the one I preach, let him be accursed. There are different gospels out there. But this gospel of righteousness by faith, crucified with the new nature, and out of that, we're seeing him as a pearl of great price that we lose everything for. The practical daily laying down of our lives only comes out of him and his finished work. The standing we have, the grace we have, is the springboard to practically walk with him day by day. That's the easy yoke and the light burden because we can stand before God by grace through faith. We know we have a new name. God's given us everything through the cross and the resurrection. Then we can go and walk it out practically. But he's not there with a big stick do this. It's out of the new nature. It's out of him living within us. It's out of him working in us. It's out of the new life. That's why, you know, we're always talking about the glory, the Holy Spirit, get filled afresh. We're not going through the motions. We need to come together. We need strength. We need encouragement. We need to get filled without limit. We talk about all these things, not just going through the motions. We come and get filled and strengthened and encouraged. We come and get strengthened in our inner man. We come and get filled with the Holy Spirit so we can go out and do life. But this is for us. I really feel I want to end on this and then we can pray. But Ephesians 4:15, Paul says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So what Paul is saying to the Ephesians, and whoever read this letter, thousands, millions of believers over the years, the challenge for us is not to just receive the grace of God and the finished work and do nothing with it. The challenge is, Paul's obsessed, I see Paul being obsessed with three things in Scripture. Now, Watchman Nee, great Chinese believer, wrote a great book on this called Sit, Walk, Stand. It's a great book. Paul's obsessed with our standing before God now, that we have the righteousness of God through faith. It's a gift. Paul's obsessed with being crucified in the new nature. But the third thing he was obsessed with, believers, in light of what you've received, you've got to press on to maturity and growth and transformation. It's growing. Paul could have ended his letter and just said, you've got all this, bye, I'll come back and see you in a year, I'll write you a few letters. But he didn't. He said, Ephesians, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head. So in light of all the grace, if we get an increasing revelation of grace, the fruit is going to be growing up into all aspects into him. So I want us to stand because I want to ask the Lord. We're just going to, what's the time? I'm going to get you out of here in pretty good time this morning. I want to ask the Lord just to give us that spirit of wisdom revelation. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for everything that you have done. The historical act of the death of Jesus Christ. It was a historical act that he died. I've seen dead bodies. When the dead body's dead, it is dead. I mean, I've lifted up there. I used to work in a care home. We used to have to move dead bodies. I've lifted up a sleeping person's arm and there is some resistance. The life's still there. I've lifted up, it's just, they're dead. They're gone. Jesus was dead. But then the Spirit of God, see that we just welcome the Holy Spirit, the creative presence of the Lord, the restorative presence of God. Create, Lord. Lord, we know you can create right now. Preach the cross. Paul said, I'm going to Corinth. He said, I'm going to Corinth. I'm going in trembling, fear, weakness, but I'm going to go with Jesus Christ and him crucified, and only that. Paul was going in to somewhere that had not received the gospel ever. Thank God through the people's work, or believers have gone before us into a lot of the world. Everywhere I've shared the gospel, somebody's gone ahead of me there. Praise God. This lion of faith was going to Corinth for the first time. As far as I know, no one had gone there. I'm scared. Paul was going, I'm going in fear and trembling. Paul has just said, I'm going. He probably knew what was coming. I know there's going to be trials and challenges. There could be some beatings and riots. I mean, I know what's coming, but I'm going with one thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Western Church, I'm just sharing my heart. Lord, teach us, guide us in the truth. I mean, We got to come back to the Western nations need the simplicity of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I mean, there's so much wickedness going on in the Western nations. We've been slaughtering babies and all this. And I mean, there's so much wickedness. But the gospel does not change. The blood doesn't change. It's fresh now. It's fresh now. So, Lord, we ask this morning for wisdom and revelation. We pray for Charlotte. We pray for the United States. We pray for Britain and Europe and Germany, France, Belgium. We pray for the Western nations, Lord. Australia, Canada, the Balkan nations, the old Yugoslav nations, Greece, some of these old nations, Russia. All those Russian nations that they were part of the Soviet Union. Lord, we lift up these nations with Judeo-Christian foundations. Lord, we humble ourselves. Father, have mercy. We thank you. Mercy triumphs over judgment. May the gospel advance afresh, Lord, with the simplicity of the power of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. With mighty, new level, Lord, signs, wonders, miracles, healings, deliverances, mighty. Paul said, you know, he said, I did signs and wonders amongst you with all perseverance. We thank you for the outpourings of the Pentecost, Lord, Azusa, the Welsh revival, Hebridean revival, all these old, where the heavens have opened for a period of time, geographic, whatever. We pray, Lord, a spirit of revival would flood Charlotte afresh, the United States, the Europe and the Western. It would transform our cultures, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. We thank you, Father. I pray this morning, everything, Lord, that has been communicated and spoken this morning, may there be some fruit, some growth, some maturing, some discipleship. Lord, may there be some fruit from this morning. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. You guide us into all truth. Lord, I pray for a new level of living in Romans 8, that the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Lord, it's done. It's finished. There's a place of rest and peace where we can live in the new nature. And let be a sense of an easy yoke and a light burden here, Lord. We break every lie, accusation, condemnation, any heavy load or any spirit of religion or legalism or anything that is not of you, Lord. We break and take authority over it this morning. Anything robbing or hindering your people from living in the fullness of the finished work, we pray would be broken, that light would shine in, that truth would come in, Lord. Put your hand on your belly. Just receive fresh. It's the blood first. We get justified and clean, then the fullness of the Spirit. We pray now. Rivers, rivers, rivers of living water. Just bubble up now. Shandarabasandoro, my Lord. Prime the pump. Any junk that hindering that flow of clean, fresh water, Lord. We just, anything. Get any bitterness. Get it out now. Any unforgiveness. Come on. Things happen in life. Whatever. I mean, I've had a degree in being unforgiving. Let's just get rid of it now. If someone gave you a bottle of poison and said, drink that, you wouldn't drink it. Same with bitterness. Get it out. Get it out now. Just let it go. Any bitterness, unforgiveness can be a root of bitterness. Just let it go now. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Shandarabasandarama. Fresh rivers. Rivers of living water. Just receive those fresh rivers. Let's get drunk, Lord. We drink without limit this morning. We are drinking without limit. Pour out wisdom revelation, Lord. Take us out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, Lord. Take us into that fullness of the new nature. May we walk it out when we leave here. Walk it out when we get up tomorrow. Walk it out with our families. Walk it out at our jobs. Walk it out, Lord, in church life. May we walk it out. Teach us. Help us, Lord. Help us to walk in it. Give us revelation. Teach us to walk in the new nature, the finished work. Rest in it. I just want to sit here for a minute. Just get filled, 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 filled afresh. Rivers, 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 rivers. Pray in the Spirit for a minute. Shandaraba sandarama ki shandaraba sondoroma. Shandaraba sandarama ki shandaraba sandoroma. Shandaraba sandarama ki shandaraba sandarama ki shandaraba sondoroma. Rivers, 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 rivers. Just drink. Take a drink. Take a drink now. Just drink, drink. It's without limit. There's no limit. There's no limit. You know, sometimes at the bars, the kegs run out and they got to go and change the keg. I mean, there's no limit here. We just can drink of the Holy Spirit. It's with it. We just got to come and be children this morning, children of God. Let's just, you know, let's just come simple and fresh this morning. Just receive it. May the dreams come, Lord. May the visions come. May the prophecy come, my men and maidservants, they shall prophesy. This is what Joel prophesied. Peter spoke in the book of Acts. My men and women, may they will prophesy. My young men will dream dreams. My old men will see visions, whichever way it's round, something like that in the scripture. But visions and dreams, gifts of the Holy Spirit, all the gifts and talents and callings and ministries, may they bubble up. May they come back. May they come back afresh. Everything you're called to do and be, may you be and do. Everything you're called to be and do, may you be and do. Everything you're called to be and do, may you be and do. Anything that's cut you off or held you, we break it off you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You're the creator and the restorer. The Holy Spirit is here to create and restore. He creates and restores. We welcome the creative work of the Holy Spirit. Nothing's impossible in this atmosphere. We welcome the creative work of the Holy Spirit. He creates something out of nothing. The Word comes. He calls things that aren't as though they were. So the Word comes. He speaks, and then it comes into being. That's the creative work of the Holy Spirit. Any sicknesses here, you got to go. We take authority afresh. No matter if we've spoken against these sicknesses 1,000 times, it's not God's will to be sick. That is my theology. We just command sicknesses to go. We command them to go. We curse every sickness and infirmity. You have to go and bow the knee to the name of Jesus Christ. We curse any cancer in this house. We curse you. We command you to go. We drive you out. Any spirit of sickness, infirmity, cancer, go now. You have to go. Jesus finished the work on the cross. The blood was shed. By his stripes we are healed. Receive it afresh. Receive it afresh. The Lord is here to create and to restore. He's here to create and to restore. Any prophetic words, dormant prophetic words, the Lord spoke maybe many years back, may they come up again. May you remember them. May you wage warfare with them. Like Paul said to Timothy, any prophetic words you've forgotten or gone dormant, may they bubble up afresh. And Lord, you watch over your word to perform it. May no one get cut short of their calling in this place, Lord. Paul said to the Galatians, someone cut in on your race. Someone had come in and given them a load of weird teaching. They received the gospel. Someone came in with a load of nonsense and got them deceived. And Paul said, who cut in on your race? It's not too late. God's able to redeem the times. If there's any sense of time lost, or God can redeem the times. He can restore all things. Jesus did nothing. He was prepared for 3 years of ministry. He was prepared for 3 years of ministry. God's able to restore any sense of loss, or God can restore. He can restore time. You think, well, how can God be? Well, nothing's impossible. He creates and he restores. Lord, we thank you for open heavens, thin air this morning between heaven and earth. Thin air. When Jesus showed up, I mean, he showed up at the wedding. They'd already had a few drinks. They were having a good time. And Jesus showed up and he turned the water into wine. And it was good wine. I mean, Jesus showed up. I don't even think he was planning on sharing and doing a miracle. I think he said, it's not my time yet. But, you know, I'm God and I'm good. So I'm going to turn that water into good wine. They can have an even better time at this wedding. Jesus showed up. He showed up and everyone had a good time. He didn't show up and make everyone miserable. He showed up and had a good time. I sound like Bobby Connor. He said, don't ever come to church and not have a good time. Bobby Connor said that. I'm trying to impersonate Bobby Connor.